Hello and welcome to Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comic Book Page Podcast. In this episode, I interviewed Alika Seki, owner of Maui's Comics and Collectibles. We recorded this interview on the last day of the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con. That was Sunday, August 27th, 2017. Here's my interview with Alika Seki, owner of Maui's Comics and Collectibles.
Aloha guys, this is Jason. I'm here at the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con, and I'm here with Alika Seki of Maui's Comics and Collectibles. How are you doing, Aliki?
Great, thank you.
I'm sorry, did I pronounce your name correctly? I think I messed it up, man.
You missed the last syllable.
All right. Okay. So, hey, I just how long have you guys been open?
Almost 3 years now.
Okay. And then, let's see, you know, where can people find you on social media or social platforms?
So we're on Instagram at Maui_comics, or you can just find us on Facebook, Maui Comics and Collectibles. And, you know, we are on Comic Store Locator and things like that.
Okay, cool. And then, you know, I'm just going to ask you some background information, like, you know, like street cred. Like, you know, what was your first comic you read?
So technically, the first comics I read were Mad and Crack Magazine. You know, I didn't know that was really comics back then. It was just, like, funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. I was obsessed with it. And little did I know how, you know, influential all the artists and writers were on. I was just enjoying the humor, like Sergio Aragonés and, you know, the old school stuff, like Kurtzman. Like, I would find old issues at flea markets, and just because they were Mad Magazine, I'd read them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first legit, I guess, action hero comic would be the Archie series of Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that were printed on Archie.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on the cartoon series.
Yeah.
And that was probably the real action comic that I picked up first.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to ask, you know, like, you know, what did you do before you opened the store?
I still do. I'm actually a civil engineer. Yeah, professionally licensed. I haven't, I've been working in construction and engineering related industries since I was 14 years old. Starting with demolition with my dad on some construction sites, and then I became a draftsperson in high school, working at engineering firms, and then eventually went to college. You know, I was just going to be a draftsperson and not go to college, but, you know, I decided to try it.
Mm-hmm.
I got my degree.
And yeah.
It was, you know, it was quite a journey. But, I, you know, then I moved on to comics because comics have always had a passion for that, you know. So.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, you know, was this a dream of opening up, you know, your own comic book store?
No doubt. I mean, I don't think that comic store can stay around nowadays unless the owner is, like, somewhat crazy optimistic. Because there are droughts or lulls in business or whatever for comic stores that you really have to be about having a comic store open. If it was purely business, there's a lot to deter a purely business person from doing a comic store, I would say.
And then, now, correct me if I'm wrong, because if I remember correctly, I think Maui had a comic book store, right?
At one point during the 90s, there were five or more. You know, there was... Complete Comics is the main one that everybody knows as Perry Shop.
Okay.
Right above Walden High, behind Stillwell's Bakery. But there was also... A shout out to Joe Aloetta of Request Music. He's the owner of Request Music now on Market Street. But also, right across the intersection, there's a bookstore called Annie's Bookstore back in the day. And Joe had the back corner, and he would sell comics.
Okay.
So as a kid, my dad knew to bring me over there. And he had Pogs, he had advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So I count that as a comic store. It was called Joe's Comics. And then there was a laundromat down by the harbor, right next door. There was a comic store that lasted about a year. They did mostly new stuff. And then, you know, Chris Wong, his mom had Future Treasures, which everybody knows is right next to the Fun Factory. It was a baseball card store mostly, but in the 90s then started doing comic books and things like that. And then in Lahaina, there was a coin and stamp store that also did comics in the Front Street Wharf Center. Then, you know, so in the 90s, but by 2005, only Perry was around,
okay.
And he closed down. And so for a decade, there were no stores in Maui for an entire 10 years. And then until we opened in 2015.
Okay. So, I mean, when you guys opened up in 2015, did you guys had a whole bunch of comic book fans that were excited that you guys opened?
So basically, people on Maui are used to doing it for themselves. Everybody there, there's tons of people that are qualified to be retailers. Mm-hmm. They've been selling for long enough, they know the comics well enough. And so it's a very difficult environment to be a retailer in, because if everybody can do your job, you better be doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's going to give you their two bits on it, you know what I mean? So Maui is just like packs of roving collectors. I don't know how else to explain it.
No, yeah.
But they all know their stuff. And those are really the people I like to serve. I like to bring people in and, you know, help them educate themselves on comics. But the goal is for everybody to know their stuff when it comes to comics and know what they want. And those are really the people who are a real pleasure to work with, because when you get them a piece, you know, they know for sure they love it. Mm-hmm. And you can be satisfied in the fact that they, you know, they're getting what they want.
That's cool. I'm going to ask you a few questions from Eric. He's the co-owner of Cowabunga Comics in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Yeah, me and him, we email back and forth. And he also, him and his partner in the comic store, James, they co-host the Cowcast. So, you know, Eric's first question is, you know, what is your product breakdown in your store?
Mostly comics. I mean, I'm an advisor in the Overstreet Price Guide. And so my specialty is collectible comics, back issues. And, hey, Richard. I'm just going. I'm sorry. Mostly collectible comics, because that's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And before I opened the store, I was also one of those private collectors who was just roving the lands and collecting and selling out of our garage. Me and my mentor, Bruce Ellsworth, who is he's a foundational collector. He's one of the first people to sell a comic for over five figures. He was on CNN in 1984 for selling Superman number one. Bruce Ellsworth, he also is very well known in the collective community for discovering the Blankest Salida collection. And so he moved to Maui in 2010 to essentially live out the rest of his days. He has a lot of health problems. He passed away in 2013, unfortunately. Wish he was still around. I opened the store in 2015. Funny story about that is, when he moved in 2010, we didn't have a comic store. I looked at him and I was like, Bruce, you're amazing. Can you open a store? We need a comic store. He seemed like the only guy qualified to do it at the time. And he was like, nah, it's too much trouble. I don't want to go, you know, it's just not worth it. And I kind of got bummed out, whatever. The last year he was alive, and, you know, I was hanging out with him one day, and this is probably like a few months before he passed away, he turns to me and he's just like, whatever happened to that comic store you wanted to open? I was like, I didn't want to open a comic store. You told me it's not worth it. He's like, you really should consider it. And so from 2013, and, you know, he basically passed recently right after that, and I just put everything I had into figuring out what I need to do. And by 2015, it was almost 100%. I mean, you know, I hit the ground running. But Bruce taught me enough about collectible comics to make me useful. You know what I mean? Like, my profit margin selling just old collectible comics out of my house was insane. I was making so much money, I had to pay taxes on it and stuff like that. And then when you add a store into the equation with new stock, trying to cycle through that, trying to, you know, do all the bookkeeping and everything yourself, it's a little daunting. And you know, it's not a very profitable thing right now. Like, we're just, the overhead just clearing
yes,
it.
Yeah.
But to be around, like, local creators, and that's, so another thing we carry is local comics. We heavily rely on that. Like, that's what this list is right next to me right here. It's all the comics that I gotta go pick up through the con and re-up from all these guys that I have to ship them to me later. And, you know, also I do some toys and some, one thing that you might not think I do retro gaming. Cartridge gaming. Anything that's retro, NES, SNES, Genesis, all the cool stuff. And, you know, we partner with people, like, there's a group on Oahu called the Video Gamers Hawaii, VGH.
No.
There, we team up with them, and my guys that I'm a part of this group is the Retro Hawaii Retro Gamers, which are based out of Maui. And we hold events on Maui all the time with retro games and contests and competitions.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm going to ask, so I know your store sells comics, so do you guys sell all those retro games, or what else? Sorry.
Yeah, of course, we do the retro game systems, as much as we can.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of the systems are more in demand, so it's hard to keep them on the shelf, but you know, it's great to see the, it's such, when we throw our events, it's such a family thing. You wouldn't think little kids are into it.
Yeah.
But it's something that the parents can, you know, I grew up with this stuff as a kid.
Yes.
That's the kind of gaming I like. I don't even play the new stuff. Like, it's the kind of stuff that's old after a year. So if you're not interested in it after a year, was it really that great of a game? And so all this NES and SNES stuff, they're over 20, 30 years old.
Yeah.
And we still enjoy playing them. That says something, you know?
Yeah.
And so the kids also get into it. And it's great to see the parents and the kids doing something they love together. Even my kids, too. My son, I have two sons, 7 and 3, and my oldest is very into all of them. And I'm not, like, forcing it on him. He just sees me do it. He's, like, gravitates towards it.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. The next question from Eric. You know, where have you seen the most upward momentum in your store?
You know, I mean, I'm a businessman, and I by no means am trying to, you know, come up at somebody else's expense. But the place where you do tend to make more of a profit is when you're doing retro games, because the price points on those are very similar to comics. And a lot of people don't realize that condition is a lot less important when it comes to retro games.
Okay.
Whereas a comic book, a slight thing will knock the value in half. And
yes.
It's like, you're done for. And maybe it's something you didn't see at the time of purchase.
Yeah.
So now you're in the hole. I mean, there's a lot less than that. So the retro games are actually doing really well for me. My old books, of course, because I'm a great hunter. And people bring in collections for appraisal all the time. I've got some. I wish I had a camera in my store because the stuff that comes into my store...
Yeah.
Is on par with a lot of these TV shows you're watching, the comic book man, you're like, wow, I can't believe that walked in.
Yes, yeah.
For instance, I just got a collection of original, it had a lot of other things, but some of the highlights were 3 original pieces by Todd McFarlane, comic art pages.
Oh,
One of them's from The Incredible Hulk issue 340. A lot of people might recognize that from being the iconic cover
where
Wolverine's claws are out. You can see the Hulk in them. And the page I had was page 16 from that, which is the pinnacle of the fight where Wolverine thinks he's killed the Hulk.
Yes.
And then Wolverine sniffs and the Hulk stands up. That page, the owner had no idea what the value was. And once I had told him what it was worth, he still only wanted a couple hundred because he was so wanted the money immediately and he was, you know, in a rush. And I'm like, give me a week. I'm going to sell this piece and I'm going to give you 80% of it. And just because, you know, and he was patient. I actually... fronted him the money that he even wanted. I was like, you can have this as a loan on it. And sure enough, we found a buyer for it, and it's that piece alone sold for $22,000. And now that's the most expensive thing I've ever sold. But that, I mean, that's kind of an example of what I do. I'm like, I could have easily had looked at this guy, and he even, once I told him what it was worth, still wanted to short sell himself. And that's just, when I was a kid, I had a lot of negative experiences. In the 90s, there were a lot of people who were more than willing to take advantage of even children. I had a lot of Silver Age comics. I had access to it. A friend of mine had a basement full of them, so I was getting them for free. And these older gentlemen were, you know, convincing me to trade them for modern age comics, which are now essentially worthless.
Yeah.
And the comics I traded them were worth hundreds of dollars. And, you know, I actually left comics because of that. I was disgusted with the industry. I thought that the valuation of comics is what corrupted people, and so the whole thing was just not worth getting into for a long time. I think a lot of people felt that way, actually, because the 90s just did that to people.
Yes.
Everybody lost a lot of money during the 90s. And then, you know, so I'm out of comics for a long time, from 2000 to 2010, like a whole decade. I don't even touch them. I just have one long box of comics left. Then I meet Bruce in 2010, and not only is he, you know, an experienced retailer and one of the higher-ups, like, he's basically the guy as far as that stuff goes. He owned a chain of stores called Tropics Comics in the 80s throughout Florida and the mainland, if anybody's familiar. And to meet somebody like that who was not looking to bilk me out of my comics and not looking to take advantage of my ignorance, but see my passion for comics and give me some education and, you know, take a little time to be a friendly person with me. And I'm just like, where were these kind of guys when I was a kid? And, you know, the industry might not have crashed had all retailers been a little more like, and, you know, to everybody's credit now, when you walk around the retailers, everybody's a lot kinder. I think everybody had learned from that experience in the 90s. And it's awesome to talk to retailers now because they are those passionate kids from the 90s who, you know, had that bad experience and then had to come back to it. I think because nobody through the early 2000s, I think comics were completely abandoned. The sales just dropped.
Yes, yeah.
And they crashed the industry on all sides, for stores and publishers.
Yeah.
And now I think that the lessons learned from that time period are really carrying over. People are just a lot friendlier. People are more about the community. They understand that the fans are the people who put the value into these comics. It's not just naturally inherent value that belongs to these comics. That doesn't exist anywhere on anything. You got to pay attention to who's making these things valuable and the love that's required to make them valuable.
That's amazing what you told me about. That guy that brought in that Page 16 original comic, brought in, you helped him out, and you gave him back some of the money, right? Of how much he could have made. Right?
Well, 80% of it. That's my flat consignor rate. 20%, that's it. That's all I take of anything I'll sell for you. And then the rest of the pieces, I informed him about what they were worth.
He
made me a really amazing deal, much more than he even wanted to sell them for. I was like, I got to give you this money just to feel right about it. And so right now, the other McFarlane piece was issue 341. It was just Hulk, banner changing into Hulk, which is still cool.
Yeah.
That sold recently for about $5,000 on eBay.
Okay.
And then as a gift, he gave me the last McFarlane piece, which I told him exactly what it was worth. My conscience is clear, but it was one of the most amazing things in my private collection that I probably will never sell. But it's a page out of issue 301, and it's Spider-Man in every panel. And David Michelinie is here at the convention, the creator of Venom. And we've also got, Todd McFarlane already originally signed the page. So I got David Michelinie to sign the page. That's basically a prized possession for right now. But that's the level of crazy things that come to my store. People don't realize that all of the things in my store are found on Maui. I don't bring anything in from the other islands.
Or even
anything from the mainland. These are all private collectors, original buyers. Pedigree level stuff. And I've, tried to catalog as many as I could as I sell. But in every sense of the word, just because of who I learned from, Bruce, I mean, he was one of those guys who managed to stay old school through all of it. He's, at the first cons, in a comic booth, selling comics. That's all you're doing. You're selling. And he would tell me the amazing books he'd be selling back in the 80s or 70s. Like, he would have amazing Fantasy 15s and Detective 27s. The things that you just cannot even touch or imagine breathing on nowadays, that people were freely selling back in the day because they didn't realize the scarcity or, the values were set low in the guide. And the people who had the foresight to pay triple guide for these books are now laughing all the way to the bank because triple guide is still a flash in the pan compared to the millions that they're worth now, And Bruce was one of those guys who, he would set the values high and people, you'd have to kind of respect it, especially on the key issues, which, I don't have a problem with people setting prices high on key issues and things like that. It's kind of how the value works, as long as you understand that the rest of the works aren't really worth much.
Yeah.
And they don't all gain value at the same rate as the other books.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, how did you meet Bruce? Like, how did you develop this friendship with him and for him to literally get you to reignite the love for comics again?
It was really cool. Bruce, he came to Maui for bad health. He posted a Craigslist ad looking for comics, and I had one long box of comics and gave him a call. And half of it was still Silver Age, so it's about like 100 or so Silver Age books I had to trade with. They were nothing great. Like, the highlight is maybe a low-grade Avengers 11. That was the Spider-Man cover.
Okay.
But Bruce was still respectful of everything. He wasn't like, this is crap, I don't want it. And the best thing is, he had a great collection he had just gotten from Australia, which was all Bronze Age, cool stuff that I wasn't familiar with. He educated me as he showed it to me. He wasn't ripping me off. We were doing trades. We were trading for things I didn't know about, but I was learning as I got them, like weird war tales and houses, the secrets and witching hour. It's great books that don't get their due. Great art, amazing concepts, and just educating me on the whole history of everything as we go. And he saw that I had a great interest for comics. I had a foundational understanding, whereas I was a Marvel zombies kid. Everybody loves Marvel, so I learned what I love. I knew who Kirby was, I knew who Stanley was, I knew who, the basic foundational Marvel guys were, and some of the DC guys, just because there's a little incestuous. And he filled in a lot of the gaps in my mainstream knowledge, and he's a specialist in underground comics, and so I got a really good education of those, which I have a very great appreciation for. Underground and independent comics, and you know, in all sides together, they all, it's a circle of life, because some of the mainstream artists you know and love, they have incredible, very X-rated material in underground comics, which is fun. You know, it's cool to see what they do when they're let off the leash. And so it's a great education I got with Bruce. And so he was having a hard time. He's from the mainland. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But in Hawaii, you know how it is. Local people want to deal with local people. If someone's from the outside, even on principle, even if the guy's nice, there's something on the inside that's just like, I really should wait for a local guy to sell this to because I want this to stay on island and stuff. But they didn't realize that with Bruce, he was really local friendly. He, you know, all the Hawaiian friends I had introduced him to, they're not even into comics. They just love Bruce's heart so much, and it really touched my heart to see that they get on well with him. And because, you know, I've brought friends from the mainland before, and not all my local friends are down with those kind of people. To see Bruce get on so well with everybody and everybody take time and go spend time with him in his poor health to keep him company, even when I'm not there, you know what I mean? So they've made individual friendships with Bruce. It's just a testament to what a nice guy, a great guy he was. And I'm prefacing that because local people with the local collections did not necessarily, weren't like 100% selling him. He did buy some nice collections before he met me, but when he started bringing me along on the hunt with him, which I was just going to learn things, I was surprised because he was so experienced. He let me do a lot of the talking just because I knew as a professional that I was not the one to mention price or grade or anything. He was the main dog in that show. But he would let me do the majority of talking with the people to you know, ease their mind about where it was going. And he found he was able to buy almost every collection he came into contact with me helping him. And thankfully, he taught me a lot as we went along. And that's basically how me and Bruce started working together. And we created Maui Comics and Collectibles. It was actually this banner you see above us.
Yeah.
That was hanging in his garage. Maui Comics and Collectibles was just the name we had for us selling comics out of his garage. So people will remember it from back then. And then after his passing, you know, we had spoken a lot about it before because he knew he didn't have long on this planet. But he, you know, his wife sold me the business name. I took over it purely and solely. But everything I do is dedicated to Bruce. Without him, I mean, he basically reignited the scene on Maui. He's such a humble guy. Even if he was here today, he might not even take credit for that. But he really did bring everybody back. He did what he did for me, he did for everybody, which is show that somebody who knows their stuff and is a professional doesn't have to be a snob about it. You don't have to be exclusive. You don't have to be a gatekeeper fan. We're so anti all of that. It's because fans become fans at whatever part of their life they're at. You should never put a speed bump on that or try to block them from that. And Bruce was all about it, man. He was just excited to make new fans, you know?
You know, Alika, that's pretty cool. And it really shows that, you know, just talking, just listening to you, Bruce really reignited that fire for your love of comics. And like you said, it's more about collecting. It's reading it, you know. And it's so great to hear that story from you.
Bruce is a great guy, man. When he passed, it was a big loss. I mean, we still talk about him today, you know. Every year at Free Comic Book Day, I do a comic book auction call. Here's another story. Every Sunday, there's a place in Kahului that would do auctions. And for an hour out of each of those auctions, a guy named Sean, a good friend of the store, would come out and do a comic auction. And, you know, the regular auction is pretty whatever, you know, maybe 20, 30 bidders, people like it. And then the comic auction comes, the main auction takes a break, and the comic auction comes on. And this is supposed to be a small part of the show. You see people coming out from inside, there's like hundreds of people waving their hands, and it's the most exciting thing you've ever been to. Live comic auctions are so fun. And so Bruce loved it. I loved watching it. This is going to sound really rude, and I don't mean it to. Bruce will laugh his butt off if you heard this, but he was missing a leg from diabetes. He was in his wheelchair. And so when he was up front, sitting in his wheelchair, and he had his one stump leg hanging out. And you can know when he's excited because his stump leg was wagging like a dog. And I was like, and I was just laughing. That image. And he was so on the edge of his seat, like jumping and bidding and stuff. I loved it, man. I love Bruce. And so he, you know, I saw how much he enjoyed that. So every year when I hold my comic auction, I dedicate it to Bruce. That's the Bruce Ellsworth Memorial Comic Auction on Free Comic Book Day, which also happens to be our grand opening, our anniversary. So we kill, you know, we give out free comics to everybody's down there. We have a big comic auction. And it's just, you know, it's great. And a lot of people that attend the comic auction still remember Bruce, so it's awesome.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Just to, you know, I can imagine your friend Bruce with his leg. And but it's more the excitement. It's like, oh, my God, come on.
Oh, he's on the edge of his seat. He's the one shouting the loudest. You know, he's the most experienced guy. He's been doing it for, you know, his whole life. But he's probably the most excited guy there. Like, you know, you'd think of the guy I never saw a comic before.
Alika, I'm going to say thank you very much for, you know, sharing that story about Bruce. I just thank you.
Let's see. I'm just gonna do one more question from Eric, and then we'll continue with other questions. Eric asks, if back issues are part of the inventory, is there an era, publisher, or character that seems to be the most in demand?
Well, I mean, he's a retailer, right?
Yes.
So I'm gonna say the things that he already probably knows, which is Silver Age always does great, just because, you know, that's all the heroes that people know. Golden Age for me is hard to come by, like anybody to find, because I have to look for mine in the wild. I don't really buy it retailer prices. I don't, you know, I'm not the, you know, the collecting stuff. I'm more interested in meeting the original owners and buying original collections.
Okay.
So in that sense, Bronze Age is one of the, about for the last decade, has steadily, because back in the 90s, you could, that was like dollar bin stuff, quarter bin stuff.
Yeah.
Luke Cage was in the quarter bin, ROM Space Knight was in the quarter bin.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff nowadays is very valuable and climbing.
Oh.
And it's still stuff you can find in decent shape. You can find high grade Bronze Age as possible. So I would say my favorite stuff right now, and plus I'm growing an appreciation for it, it wasn't my era. I was a 90s kid when it came to comics. That's when I got into X-Men, Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
So that was, you know, I'm a Jim Lee guy. I'm a, you know, McFarlane guy.
Yeah.
Of course, we're an amazing white comic guy.
Yeah.
It was awesome to meet him. I told him. I read Spawn number one about 1,000 times back in front. It just blew my mind when it first came out. Sorry.
No.
But yeah, I would say Bronze Age probably is the best, best producing right now.
Okay. All right. I know John Mayo of the, co-host of the Comic Book Page podcast would like to ask the following question. Like, does your store, do you guys have like a pull list for your customers?
Yeah, we do subscriptions. Subscriptions really hold up the store. We think they pay for about half of our weekly invoice every week. And we encourage them. We give all our subscribers 10% off because we desperately would love to have more subscribers. And, you know, the new comics are difficult because you gotta figure out, you gotta be good at moving them. And when you're into comics just to enjoy, it's hard. It's hard to keep up and be as excited about all the crossovers and all the new things that are coming over. Especially if, you know, there's a little cynic in you. And you, like, you're even warning your customers, oh, this crossover doesn't look, you know. But I'm honest with them. I'm not trying to overly sell stuff. You know. So, it's, you know, I'm very grateful for the subscribers and stuff. I'm so old school, so analog.
I understand because, I mean, for the previous Spotlight episode, I mean, I make fun of some of the crossovers. It's like, yeah, this is Secret, what is this, Secret Empire Wars or Secret Legacy? You know, so we make fun of that. But the thing is, we still love to read. That's the key thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the Marvel stuff, it kind of makes fun of itself. I mean, DC too, because if it's a Marvel crossover, it's got to have at least one of these words. It's got to either be Civil, Secret, or, and if it's DC, it's either Infinite, Crisis, or Flashpoint, or if it doesn't have one of those words in it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I now add rewords to that list.
All right, I'm going to ask because I've heard comic book legend. Is it true at different times, well, let me start off with the first one. Or is it true that one day Rob Liefeld just came into your store and was there the whole day, unannounced? You guys didn't invite him.
Yeah.
He just popped by. How did that go?
This is a very, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm going to tell the story anyways. I went to the alley. We had somebody took the bathroom key. So I was going to pee in the alley. It was not something I'm proud of, all right? Okay. But cars can drive through that alley.
Okay.
A car drives through that alley, and I'm, you know, well hidden, but you can see that I'm there in the LED. My friend is like 10 feet away from me talking to me, and he goes, I think Rob Liefeld is in that car. And I'm like, this is completely random. Rob Liefeld, you know, he's not in Hawaii. We don't, it's just random. He's just nobody, why is he in Hawaii? And then, you know, I walk into the front of the store, and I get there, and the guy who's in the store runs out, Rob Liefeld's here. We're like tripping out over ourselves to get in there. Obviously, he just saw me peeing in the alley. So needless to say, it was a fist bump and not a handshake. Yeah, but yeah. He was so cool. He hung out for a while, talked story with us, signed all the stuff we gave him. And then I was like, yo, Rob, I got some customers.
Really?
And I pulled out a stack of like 50 books for customers. Because I know they would be sour if they heard that Rob was there and didn't get something signed. So I pulled out a bunch of like dollar books, $1 to $5 books, and got them signed for my customers. I basically just gave them to my main subscriber customers who I knew would appreciate them. And then we sold them very cheap, like 5,000 piece after that.
That's great.
So we had a bin of them, so people who missed him got to get an autograph. And then he also signed a lot of big books for us. And you know the one thing he was looking for, which is cool, is then you know he's a fan. He was looking for Legion of Superheroes, and to hear him talking about it, he was just like nerding out. He was like, that was my X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hero team back in the day for him.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who grew up through the 80s and 90s, I had no idea.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And it was cool to hear him talk about it, because that made me want to go back and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, I mean, it's a pretty cool run. I concur. Rob Liefeld's got some good taste.
You know, did Rob say how he heard about your store, or...
That was a very lucky coincidence. One of our, and this just shows how cool our customers are, saw on his Instagram that he was in Maui. Just left a comment on his Instagram, hey, you should check out Maui Comics, tag us in it. And Rob came down. Needless to say, I gave that guy a bunch of free comics for even suggesting it. It was because of him that Rob stopped by, so it's awesome, man.
I gotta ask, so when Rob Liefeld was there, did you see any customers walking go,
oh, yeah, of course. That's what it, and the thing is, it was unscheduled, and he came back a second time as well, also unscheduled.
Oh, my God.
To sign the rest of the book, because somebody got a stack of Legion of Superheroes for him. And so, of course, Rob was super grateful and actually did a really cool sketch for him and hooked it up for him. And, yeah, like... But people who were walking randomly, not expecting to see Rob.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell people, you get here now, in the next 5 minutes, you'll see Rob Liefeld. Not many people got to see him on Maui, so it was a treat for those who did.
He must have been going, you would take your lunch break now, you know, right? Something like that.
Yeah, the other guy who saw him with me while I was in the alley, that was the co-organizer of the Maui Comic Con, Ken Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
So he got to meet Rob, so that was cool.
All right, I'm going to ask, do you need to go or anything, or are we still... Okay, one more comic book legend. I heard Jim Lee stopped by unannounced.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we're getting more than just these comic legends, but of course, everybody's going to gravitate towards Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
Jim Lee, actually, we met him here at the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con last year. And Ken Gardner, the co-organizer, was bold enough to go just make conversation with the guy, because, you know... Everybody's given these artists and writers space, which is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're approachable. They're nice people. So if you ever find yourself in a situation where you can talk to them, which Ken did, just say, hey, come check out Maui Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Lee, being the cool guy he was, just stopped by our booth at the con. He came to our booth. Of course, everybody swarmed our booth at that moment.
Yeah.
And, small talk being small talk, I just turned to Jim. I was like, you should check out our store. Jim Lee was here with his good friend John Dalmayan, owner of Torpedo Comics.
Okay.
That's how we got connected to the Amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
Yes.
And I think John, he didn't really say anything, I'm just assuming this, which was really, really nice of him. He's such a nice guy. I think he's the one who arranged to have Jim come by the comic shop. He spent 3 hours, which he announced ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
So we were able to, there was actually a healthy crowd there for Jim. And he was talking story to people, he was signing things, he did many sketches, all of this for free out of his own goodness of his heart. It was great. And that was just good fun. And, you know, the time has passed, so I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, because we weren't allowed to announce it when it happened. That was the weekend that X-Men Apocalypse had come out.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the movies to go see it with us. He's that you know, he's one of the managers in chief at DC, so he's not supposed to be doing Marvel stuff, but he was in the theater with us, and, you know, a lot of our customers knew he was going to be there, so they were all geeking out a little bit.
Oh,
but, hey, it's Jim Lee and X-Men, and Jim Lee is basically one of the godfathers of the X-Men to me, you know? And his run coincided with Claremont's run. You can't get better than that.
Yeah, plus the other thing, too. I mean, I think it just boils down to, no matter what, you know, whether we're, you know, we like DC, Marvel, we still like all the comic book movies. So, yeah. Do you need to go? Okay, sorry. All right, and then, let's see. And then, you also had also some other creators that you got scheduled to stop by, right?
Yeah, Curtis Weeb's going to be here on September 2nd at Maui Comics, the creator of Rat Queens, Peter Panzerfaust, many hot titles. He's, and very just nice, humble guy. We're fortunate on Maui with the only comic store. If somebody who's involved with comics is going to check us out.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Jeff Isherwood in the store. We've had Ron Randall.
These guys.
You know,
like
David Michelinie was there last weekend before we.
I saw that on your Facebook.
So, you know, we're just blessed, and we have a lot of people in the local community who like our store enough to, if we don't have the connection with the artists, it's usually someone else bringing them to us. And so, you know, it's all about that goodwill to the community kind of thing. Like, I just did it because I wanted to make the comic community a nicer, friendlier place. But I'm also definitely reaping the benefits, I can't lie, is that people are more apt to tell people, tell artists and writers about my store and bring them there. And most of the people who come have a great experience, so I'm so grateful for all of that. We had Steve Lealoha, Trina Robbins, the first woman to work on regular continuity Wonder Woman.
Yes.
We've had, of course, Tad Stones. James Silvani is the person who brought in Tad Stones and Aaron Sparrow. Tad Stones being the creator of Garvin Duck, Aaron Sparrow being the comic creator on the last two runs. Okay. James Silvani lives on Maui. He's an artist with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Most currently known for Garvin Duck, but he does all the things. He worked on Archie TMNT, which is, of course, one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I was geeking out about with him. Had him do a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know... You know, sorry, what?
No, it's okay, man, it's okay.
You know.
It's the last day of the convention, man. It's, you know, we're like, okay, man. I mean, literally, you know, guys, I mean, we're like one more hour before they're closing. I mean, you know, me and Alika, I mean, we're just probably like already gone home already, so don't mind us.
Yeah, for sure, man. I've been feeling that way since the start of the I'm tired, man.
I'm going to start wrapping this up before we start.
Sure.
All right, and then let's see. I know besides the other social platforms, you guys are also doing a podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
It's the Nerdwatch Podcast. Actually, the host, G Money, is right here if you want to hear what that voice sounds like. G, why don't you guys say hi? Come on.
Come on,
don't be shy. Right. The golden voice.
How's it going, guys? I am the host of the Nerdwatch, G Money. I did not authorize Alika to be on any other podcast, but I'll let it slide this time. It's all good.
No, my name's Jason. This is for my friend in Texas, John Mayo. He does the Comic Book Page podcast. I've been contributing to his podcast, so yeah.
Fantastic, but he still needs authorization.
Okay, all right. I'll have John draw up the paperwork. If we do share this, we'll make sure you guys get a cut of the time. Oh, wait, also, too, I think my friend Drew and Kyle from Comics for Fun and Profit podcast.
Fantastic.
You know, I'll make sure they work up the paperwork, too, all right?
Yeah, for sure.
But
it's a pleasure.
You can also find the Nerdwatch podcast at Nerdwatch Nation on YouTube, Nerdwatch Nation on Twitter, on Instagram at @the_Nerdwatch, and on Facebook at the Nerdwatch.
iTunes.
Listen to the Nerdwatch on iTunes, Audio Boom Sound,
and of course Stitcher.
Wait,
Stitcher.
But since you're here, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Can I authorize this?
I'm going to authorize it right now. I'm putting it down. All right, go ahead.
Hey, so what are you guys covering in your guys' podcast? What do you guys talk about?
Well, essentially, what the Nerdwatch podcast is one of the only podcasts here in the islands that deals with pop culture. So what we're doing is we are dealing with movies, games, television, comic books, and what we're doing is we're doing it with a more of a light touch, as in, we're very passionate about these genres of comic books and movies and games. So we share that passion, but we also do it with a lot of humor.
Okay.
So we do our darndest to make sure that everybody involved has a good time. We just love sharing our love for what we love, and that's comics and games and movies and TV. That's what the Nerd Watch is out here now. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, but thank you for letting me know, because I mean, first of all, this past Friday when I stopped by you guys' booth, like, hey, what is this podcast? I've never heard of it. So it's like, now I'm going to check you guys. I'm serious. I'm going to check you guys out.
We'd love
and, you know, hey, you know, listeners of the Comic Podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit, you know, please check out their podcast too. How often do you guys have your podcast episode come out? How often?
Well, every single week we do one to two shows a week every Tuesday night. You can check us out on Facebook Live as well. Facebook Live, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. And about 8:30-ish, we go live with the podcast, and then we put up the podcast later in the week.
Okay. And that's 8:30 Hawaii time.
Yes, sir.
Just to make that clear, if you're in the mainland or in Japan.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, your name again?
My name is G Money. That's where you guys can check me out. You can check me out on NerdWatch. It's facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. And by the way, just to let you know, the majority of our listeners are actually from Japan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's really neat that we have this whole outlet of Japanese listeners.
Yeah.
And, of course, the rest of it comes from Oahu and, and Maui. So we really appreciate, if you guys do listen to the show or whatever, we really appreciate it if you do. Check us out, facebook.com/NerdWatch, and listen to the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes and Audible.
All right. I'm sorry. G Money. Thank you, sir. So, Alan, because we have a listener of the Comic Book Page podcast, he lives in Japan. I remember he told me that he was going to UA. So, Alan, in Japan, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, download their podcast, man. Please, and, you know, please, that's the only way I can get authorization to release this. All right? All right, Alan. All right.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you guys very much.
And this is great that you stopped on by. All right. I'm going to start wrapping this up. And then, your story, you guys helped plan the Maui Comic Con, right?
Yeah, like I said, it's me and my co-organizer, Ken Gardner, and we basically just put it on together just to get all the local artists together. The NerdWatch hosts all the panels, and you know, we've got panels, cosplay contests, all the things that a convention would have. And I guess we learned a good lesson from being an Amazing, because that was basically the only con, aside from a con in Boston when I was 12, that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So we kind of were like, you know, just playing with it. And it was a hit. People loved it, so...
That's great. And then, so when is the second annual Maui Comic Con? When is that?
That's going to be October 28th and 29th. We're changing venues to a more central location.
Okay.
It's going to be at University of Hawaii Maui College in the Student Union.
Okay.
And so, you know, you'll see more details as the date approaches. Yeah. But our headliners, of course, are Mark Teixeira, Joe Rubenstein, and Stan Sakai, creator of Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, that's nice, because I know when I checked out you guys' Facebook page, I think it was Mark Teixeira and,
Joe Rubenstein.
Yeah, Joe Rubenstein. That's pretty cool. And the con is 2 days, right?
2 days. October 28th and 29th is a Saturday and Sunday before Halloween.
Okay.
So I figure you can use your Halloween costumes to come hang out.
Yeah. Okay. Again, Alika, the name of your store again?
Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Okay. And where can people find you?
On Instagram, @Maui_comics, on Facebook, Facebook.com/Maui Comics. You know, you can also email us, MauiComicsandCollectibles@gmail.com, or just, you know, check us out on Comic Store Locator, just Google us, we're there.
Okay. All right, so if you guys are vacationing in Maui, you know there's a comic book store. It sounds like an awesome comic book store. I want to fly out. I want to fly out to the convention. No, I can't. I blew most of my money here. Man. I blew most of the money. Yeah. Amazing. All right. So I don't think my wife would let me come. But Alika, I just say, first off, thank you very much for doing this. Thank you very much.
Of course, thank you, man.
And then, you know, just by talking to you, Alika, you sound like an awesome store owner, man.
Thank you.
I mean, running
that.
It as a business, and then just talking about the passion for comics. From a fan perspective, it's just reading about comics. And it's
right.
So cool that, you know, you shared your story about Bruce and how you reignited that love of comics to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, also too, I think you guys are doing an incredible job of growing the store, you know, such as you guys are doing a podcast, and also you guys are, like, help organizing, you know, a comic book convention on Maui. I think that's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just part and parcel. It's the things that we want, you know, so we kind of just got to do it ourselves, because, like I said, before I opened the store, I was just waiting for it. I thought someone else would open a store. I was just waiting for it. And then when Bruce gave me that final encouragement, I was like, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll just do it. So, I mean, I'm a fan, first and foremost. If anybody else had opened a store, I'd be right there hanging out, you know what I mean?
that's awesome. So, Alika, again, thank you very much. You know, until next time, guys, aloha.
That was my interview with Alika Seki, owner of Maui's Comics and Collectibles. Now the store's address, it's 333 Derry Road, Kahului, Maui. And you can follow them on Instagram at Maui_comics, or you can just Google Maui's Comics and Collectibles and be linked onto their Facebook page. Now I really enjoyed doing this interview because it was about, you know, two collectors, the late Bruce Ellsworth, who loved comics, and Alika, who loves comics. And because of this common bond, a strong friendship had developed that, you know, not only reignited Alika's love for his hobby, you know, but it deepened and strengthened his love for comics. And out of this friendship and encouragement from Bruce, Alika opened Maui's Comics and Collectibles to share his hobby he and all of us love to a new generation in Maui. And to me, Alika is continuing to share his love of comics to the world. You know, along with G Money and the crew, they are doing the Nerd Watch podcast. So I think that's pretty awesome. And on top of that, Alika and his friends are holding the second annual Maui Comic Con. That'll be on October 28th and October 29th at the Maui Community College. Stan Sakai, you know, the writer and artist of Usagi Yojimbo will be there. Legendary artist Mark Teixeira of Punisher and the revival of Ghost Rider back in the 90s. And also, too, legendary inker Joseph Rubenstein. The thing I could, you know, he's inked a lot of stuff over the years. The key one I can remember is the Wolverine miniseries that Chris Claremont and Frank Miller did back in the 80s. You know, so, you know, one thing about this is that I'm going to say that it's like keep an eye on the Maui Comic Book Convention. This thing is going to grow. You know, I know it's going to be growing. This is the one place that probably creators will probably want to come to, you know, every year. So like I said, guys, just keep an eye out on this Maui Comic Book Convention. The other thing too about this interview, not only is Alika a big comic book fan, he's also a businessman first as well. While we were doing the interview, you know, he was multitasking. Alika was multitasking. You know, he was doing an inventory sheet he was working on, trying to collect some of the local comics from the creators at the Amazing Comic Con when we were doing the interview there. He was also, you know, as you could hear in the interview, he told one of his staff members to help a customer out. You know, so that's great. So it's not only is Alika, you know, a comic book fan, he's also a businessman as well. You know, and I better start wrapping this up. You know, I just want to thank a few people. You know, I want to thank, you know, John, Kyle and Drew, you know, for letting me contribute, you know, to their podcast, you know, by doing these interviews. You know, Eric from Kawabunga Comics. Eric, thank you very much for your questions. Thank you very much. And also, too, if you're a new listener, you know, please check out Eric and James's podcast, the Kawcast podcast. They do behind the scenes of how to run a comic book shop. That's pretty good. It's really good. Those are really good episodes. And, you know, again, if you're a new listener, please check out John's podcast, The Weekly Comic Spotlight. You know, it's a spoiler-free review show where he and Drew review one comic from DC, one from Marvel, and one other comic from another publisher. And please check out Drew's, you know, weekly podcast, you know, Comics for Fun and Profit. You know, he and his brother Kyle, you know, they do comic book speculations for the new releases coming out that week. You know, again, I want to thank Alika, you know, for doing the interview. Alika, it was great talking to you. And one day I got to come out to your shop in Maui. I really do. And again, if you are in Maui, please, again, stop by Maui's Comics and Collectibles on 333 Derry Road in Kahului, Maui. You know, and lastly, to everyone, thank you everyone for listening. Until next time, aloha.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.